I was asked to speak this evening on the topic of Goloka Darshan. Goloka means the planet of the cows, and Darshan means seeing. It's also used as one term for what in English is called philosophy. It's the nearest equivalent in English to Darshan. I was asked to speak on this. You had heard me speaking about that in a lecture. I discussed this in this book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava. This was a term that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used. He spoke of Goloka Darshan and Jagat Darshan. That means spiritual vision and material vision. It's a common misunderstanding that material things means, or materialism means, wanting to have lots of money and big cars, and if you just have some ordinary car and some ordinary house, then that's not materialistic. Hirachor and Kirachor, diamond thief and cucumber thief, they're both a thief. The desire to enjoy this world is criminal. We just came from prison. I just came out of prison, visiting a prison. Just came out of one prison. It's a prison within a prison. This whole material world's a prison. We're all chained by desires to enjoy it. So the idea that I shall be happy in this world, that is Jagat Darshan. Everything in this world is meant for my enjoyment, or less selfish, for our enjoyment. Golok Darshan means to see that everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment, and Krishna sets it up that he looks after the cows. His enjoyment is to see that the cows are happy. And Texas, the two things are very famous. One is, or the economy is based on, traditionally based on cow slaughter and oil. So go also means the earth. So in both ways, killing the cows and piercing the earth. So it's not a very good culture. People may not be very happy to hear that. They think this culture is so wonderful. We have to export it to the whole world. But actually it's a demoniac culture. A demoniac culture in which we don't understand. Even if there's some idea of God, the idea is that God gave us this world so we can exploit it for our own pleasure. God's somewhere in the background helping us to enjoy this world. So darshan, this term, means seeing. It doesn't just mean the impression, a light impression on the retina, which is transported to the brain, and then we get something which we call vision. But it means world view. The English term is a world view. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Shraddhamayo yang purusha, yo yaj chadhasa eva saha. Everyone has some kind of faith. And according to the kind of faith we are, that's who we are. Who we are is not so much exactly the body or the identification, but how we see the world. And Krishna, in this verse comes at the beginning, or this half a verse comes from the beginning of the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna discusses three kinds of faith. That means sattviki, rajasi, chaiva, tamasi. Krishna describes that in sattvagun, rajogun, and tamogun. There are three basic. People think there are so many different philosophies and this and that, but they can all be classified into three kinds of ways of looking at the world, three kinds of outlooks. And beyond that is these are three kinds of jagat darshan, three classifications of how to live in this world. Mostly, modern society is impelled by rajogun, lots of activity, with the aim of enjoying this world. Very active in this world with the aim of enjoying it. And tamogun, when rajogun, you get worn out, stressed, fatigued, then you collapse into tamogun. Depression, disappointment, anger out of frustration, then intoxication. These are all symptoms of tamogun. Hopelessness, helplessness. So rajogun leads to activity in rajogun that collapses down to tamogun. And sattvagun means to the outlook in which one has a higher vision. One wants to live in this world peacefully, not grossly exploiting the world or anyone in it. And people think this is spiritual, but it's not spiritual, it's material. It's not grossly material in the sense of rajogun, that let us work hard, get money, build big buildings, show ourselves to be very great and powerful, and enjoy the senses to the fullest extent, as much as possible, at every moment. But it's more detached, calm, peaceful. And there may be some spiritual outlook, but without knowledge of Golok and Govinda, then that's not fully spiritual. Someone just asked us in the prison about, well, is Krishna consciousness the only way to get liberated from samsara, from this material world? Well, there are other ways also. That's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. I didn't quote the verse there. That you can get liberated from this material world without being Krishna conscious. Exactly. But it's not full or complete. Yenya irvindaksha vimuktaman inastvayasta bhavada vishuddha buddhaya aruhya kritchena parang padang tataf patantyato nadrita yushvadangraha. You can get liberated with very great difficulty by kritcha sadhana, very difficult spiritual activities or partially spiritual activities. One can get liberated and think, no, I did it, I'm liberated, but I'm pure, I'm beyond the three modes of material nature. But in this way, you can come out of the material world, but you don't go to the spiritual world. You don't go to Goloka, don't participate in Krishna's pastimes, because they want to get liberated, but they don't recognize Krishna. So you get liberated, but you don't go all the way. You only go part of the way. And because of the fault of neglecting Krishna, one falls down again to this material world. And then, back. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Again and again, getting born and again, dying. So this, the mode of goodness, that the highest level of the mode of goodness is to seek liberation from this world. And then at a somewhat lower level, one simply wants to, or one thinks that being in harmony with nature, this is spiritual, and just living each day without endeavoring grossly for monetary gain, and living simply, sharing what you have with others, That's trying to help others. So that's more in sattva-gun. Of course, the modes of material nature may mix. So one has the motive to help others, but then due to lack of proper knowledge, one may want to help others by feeding them, for instance, and then feed them with animal food or meat, slaughterhouse meat. So the motive is there to help others, and that, well, that's very good, that's very nice. But then you feed them the karma by which they'll have to suffer in future. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave this darshan. You said about me, I'm indefatigable. Well, that really applies to him. You're all ready for a four-hour lecture? We just began. Well, if it was him, it would likely be so. Whether people are listening or not, he would just go on speaking. That narration is there of how Srila Prabhupada, before he was initiated, he went to a lecture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and that was on the Rajamandala Parikrama. And most of the participants in the Parikrama had gone off to see some holy place. And he was lecturing, and there were just a handful of devotees there. And most of them also left. And just he was there with one or two others. But anyway, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went on speaking. So he went on speaking to help to give the understanding by which we can actually see. Shute kshetapatha. This is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. That means, shuta means hearing, ikshita means seeing, and pata means path. So it's the path of seeing by hearing. And actually, seeing, again, even in the material sense, it doesn't just mean seeing with the impression on the eyeballs, but seeing by understanding. Different people see the world in different ways. We meet someone, and our impression of them is formed by our worldview. For instance, a white man may meet a black man and think, oh, black, don't like that, because they have such an outlook. Or someone else, he may maybe also be a white man and not have any such feeling. Someone who is trained in Ayurveda, they may meet someone, immediately they look at them and say, oh, looks like Pitta Vata type. Must be like this and this and this and that and that. They see through the eye of, they tend to judge people or evaluate them in terms of Ayurveda. Someone else, he may be trained in astrology and say, well, what's your sign? And then immediately evaluate them. Oh, you looks like you're a Leo. Or they evaluate them in this way. Someone else may be trained in some system of psychology. There are several systems of psychology. Well, looks like this one, he looks like this type. They have typologies. We tend to, according to the worldview we have, we tend to evaluate people. And Krishna gives that also in Bhagavad Gita. He says that according to the modes of material nature. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave that vision as an acharya, our own Srila Prabhupada also. Nowadays when we hear about Srila Prabhupada, we usually hear so many anecdotes of how he was very kind and this and that. But one, practically we can say that the major feature of Srila Prabhupada, what was it about? Was it his kindness or the way he smiled? But literally day and night he spoke Golok Darshan. He spoke the philosophy of the Absolute Truth. He was always engaged in Krishna Kirtan, either by singing or by speaking, literally day and night. Throughout the day he would meet people, he would speak to them, Krishna Katha. either formally in some setting like this, formal lecture, or informally, whether it was a crowd of 1,000 people or just one or two people. Even there was no one to listen to him, he quoted his own guru, if no one comes, you speak to the four walls. And Srila Prabhupada actually did that. When he first came to America, he dictated the what is now the introduction to Bhagavad Gita as it is. There was no one there, so he just spoke it. But he had the transcendental presence of mind to record that also. That if it's worth saying, then the modern facility is there. Let's record it so that others can also take advantage of that. So Srila Prabhupada later, as his world mission expanded, he was traveling around the world, he would meet people throughout the day. And at night, when his disciples, they were resting, he was up dictating. And we now have the Bhaktivedanta purports as a result of that. So Srila Prabhupada, he was always speaking the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. When we say philosophy, that's an English word, which that is generally related to some opinion. But the word Golok Darshan, there's no room for opinion there. It's such a tough thing in the modern world. Whatever you say, people think it's just some opinion. Someone says, oh, it's my opinion. What's your opinion about this? But it's completely useless. Opinions are all completely useless. Because we're just tiny little beings in a tiny little world, and we have a tiny short life, and we think, well, in my opinion, it's just complete nonsense. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, from time to time, we hear him say that, iti me matam. For instance, this is my opinion. For instance, yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yo mam same yukta tamo mataha. Krishna says, well, as I see it, the best of all yogis is the one who is fully engaged in my service, making me his life. So when Krishna says my opinion, that's a fact. But when I say my opinion, or you say your opinion, it has no meaning. Another important point to understand is that whatever our opinion may be, it doesn't affect the fact. Someone may say, well, my opinion is 2 plus 2 equals 5. Well, you can have that opinion if you like, but it's nonsense. So what is the fact? It seems so tough for people in the modern age to get this point, that you may have your opinion, this opinion, that opinion. What is the fact? What is reality? We should try to understand. Last night, again and again in that program in the college, my opinion, this, oh, I don't care about it. It's meaningless, your opinion. It's over inflated opinion about oneself, that my opinion is very important. You can have your opinion, I can have my opinion. But it doesn't make any difference what your opinion is. You have to die. What happens after that? You should find out. What's the actual meaning of life and actual purpose of life? You can have your opinion, but we are controlled. Well, in my opinion, blah, 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 but it doesn't happen. In my opinion, everyone should bow down to me, and I should live forever. But well, that's what you want. But what you want, and what the world doesn't go on according to the way we want it. That means there's some agency which is controlling us. We should find out what that is. Srila Prabhupada, what I see, he spoke on so many topics, but the two main points he stressed again and again and again and again and again. One thing, we're not the body. We're eternal. The body dies, we don't die. That's one point. That's one point which we can all ascertain if we have little intelligence. It's not that common nowadays that people have even a little intelligence. And of course, they have so much intelligence, they can make such a big civilization like here in America with so much technology. It's all actually useless because it's just... they come up with some automatic toy. When you go past stool, something automatically comes out, some robot comes and cleans your backside. It's the whole of this society, it's about as valuable as that. It's just making arrangements so that people can eat, sleep, mate, defend, and die. And they don't know what at all they're doing, and they think that's it. So they have some intelligence. But the intelligence to understand who we actually are, what is the purpose of life, that kind of intelligence is not at all cultivated. It's covered by the endeavor for sense gratification. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam, tayaparita chetasam, vyavasaya atmika buddhya, samadhona vidhiyate. For people who are just overwhelmed by the desire for enjoying this world and getting money and living an opulent life, then they can't have that fixity of vision by which one can come to understand actually who we are, what is the purpose of life, what is Golok. Golok is a long, long way from the vision of people who are simply trying to enjoy this world, who are in Jagat Darshan. This world is so nice, we're here to enjoy it. This way, that way, other ways. So Srila Prabhupada, he spoke on this point, we're not the body. Don't try to, so the endeavor to enjoy this world via this body or this mind, it doesn't make any sense. And we are controlled, which means first thing is, we are not in control. We can adjust the AC and we think, well, we're in control. We're not in control. We don't choose where we're born, how we're born, what we look like. You can adjust your face with plastic surgery and this and that. Some adjustments we can make, but we're forced to be born, we're forced to die. We can't choose when we die. We can't choose where we're born, how we're born. We're controlled. There are outside forces controlling us. So try to understand, we're controlled, there's a controller. So Srila Prabhupada presented these points in a way, it's a spiritual life for dummies. You have all these books, dummies books. People, it's just very difficult for people to understand even basics, ABCs. So of course Srila Prabhupada introduced chanting, Hare Krishna, giving prasadam. This helps to purify people so they can understand. But it's also necessary to understand. Chanting should go on, but it's also necessary to understand at least these basic points. Otherwise, we can go on and on chanting, but if we don't understand this basic point that we are meant for pleasing Krishna, then we'll take the kirtan also as something for our own enjoyment. And that's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sampradaya degraded. That there are all these people chanting Hare Krishna and worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they had the idea that, well, ultimate idea means they weren't very philosophical in any way, but the idea that we are meant for Krishna's pleasure instead of the kirtan is meant for our pleasure. They didn't get that because their whole materialistic outlook is how I can enjoy this world. And so religion also becomes, God, give us this day our daily bread. And everything else to go along with it, bread and sausages, and mustard. God gave man dominion over the animals. So cut them up, stick them in your mouth, roast them. Horrible, horrible ideas. How did this didn't come from God. Srila Prabhupada said that this idea to kill the animals, and this is Satan's philosophy. So it's also necessary to understand, along with the kirtan, the whole point. Jivesurup hoy Krishna nityadas. We are meant for serving Krishna. We are meant for Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, we take religion to be some means to facilitate our own enjoyment of this world. We're in such diseased consciousness, jagat darshan. This world is meant for my enjoyment. Ishvaro ham aham bhogi, siddho ham balavan sukhi. The demoniac outlook. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. I'm perfect. I'm powerful. I'm happy. This is the demoniac outlook. So Srila Prabhupada, he pressed these points. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pressed these points. We should also, press means again and again discuss, because we are in the diseased mentality of wanting to enjoy this world. So even kirtan becomes, we think, oh, then it, the music, how nice is the music? But that's not the point. Of course, we should make it musically nice for the pleasure of Krishna. But more important even than the music is the attitude of how, the attitude of actually wanting to please Krishna. Not that we want to please ourselves. It's some musical arrangement by which we can please ourselves. Of course, chanting Hare Krishna is always beneficial, even if there's some element of offense in there. But we don't want to encourage nama parada, or offenses against the Holy Name, because it's just a consciousness shift. We can chant Hare Krishna and it won't benefit us very much. We won't get the result of chanting Hare Krishna should be Krishna prema. But if we chant with the wrong mentality, then we won't get Krishna prema. Bahu janma kore jadi shravan kirtan tabuta napai Krishna pade prendon. That warning is there. That if we chant, making offenses, we can go on for many lifetimes and not attain to Krishna prema. So it's a matter of understanding. Hearing is also important. Hearing so that we can see properly. When we hear, then we can see. Otherwise, we just see, but we don't understand. Anything we take. I was saying about the astrologer sees the world in one way, the Ayurvedic doctor sees in one way. Someone who's trained in molecular or atomic physics, they may see, this is all they see, everything. See means, according to how they've studied, everything here is atoms.
Porous.
Yeah, they see. They see it in those terms. But if we ask them, well, where's the atom? Can you show me? How are they going to show you? Well, can you prove that electrons exist? You say, yeah, but you have to take the training. You have to take the... if you like to take photos, I'll pose afterwards. But please lend me your ear now. It's the whole point we're talking about. You have to see by hearing. That's why I'm more interested in speaking than being photographed. I'm not particularly photogenic anyway. To understand that, you have to take the training. It may take quite some time to get training in physics so that you can understand that atoms exist, subatomic particles exist. The atoms combine to make molecules. They combine in different ways. So then you learn how iron can interact with oxygen in different ways. So you get ferric oxide, ferrous oxide, and all this. And then, but how are you going to understand without being trained in that? What's the difference between ferric oxide and ferrous oxide, or carbon as the carbon in your pencil and the carbon as a diamond? So some training is required. One has to learn by hearing and studying. So in the same way, to understand Krishna and our relationship with him, we have to hear and understand. Otherwise, Krishna is everywhere. How will we find him? By learning how he's everywhere. And what is our relationship with him? And ultimately, Krishna reveals himself to us. It's not exactly like some academic study. We may have a bhakti shastra degree or something like this. That doesn't mean that we've found Krishna. Krishna reveals himself to us if we are sincere to serve him. Atashi Krishna namadi nabhaved grahyam indriyai sivun mukhe hi jivado swayameva spuratiyada. Krishna, his name, form, quality, pastimes, they're nothing to do with this material world. They are from the Golok world, not from this world of birth and death. But we are in this world because we have the consciousness of trying to enjoy it. So as long as we're in the consciousness of trying to enjoy this world, even when we hear about Krishna, we think Krishna is some other item for me to enjoy. And then we can't understand Krishna, as long as we're in this mundane consciousness. But when we adopt the consciousness of wanting to serve Krishna, then Krishna reveals himself to us. That's his kindness. And that service begins with the tongue, chanting the name of Krishna and honoring Krishna Prasadam. So, Sevan Mukhehi Jivado, beginning with the tongue. The tongue and the ear, these are very important. Using the ear to hear about Krishna. Chanting the names of Krishna also. We have to hear. Hear the name of Krishna. Shravan Kirtan. Chanting and hearing. So it is a simple point to understand. We are not of this material. We don't belong in this material world. That's the first thing to understand. We are meant for eternal blissful life. We're not meant for dying. We're not meant for struggling. We're not meant for suffering. We want to be happy. That is our. Why do we want to be happy? That is our nature, to be happy. But in this material world, there's no happiness. Where is there happiness? In Golok, in the place of Krishna, where there is Krishna. So I meant to go there. But we can't go there as long as we have the Jagat Darshan, the consciousness of wanting to enjoy. Or even if we have the consciousness, well, I don't want to enjoy this world, I want to get out of it. That's also not a qualification to go to the spiritual world of Krishna. Because there's no positive desire to serve Krishna. By desiring to get out of this world, we can get out of it. That's possible. Not very easy, but it's possible. But it doesn't give us admission into the spiritual world of Krishna. So that world of Krishna that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Brahma Sanghita. But the essence is the spirit of service, which sounds, in this material world, the idea that we have to serve someone, it doesn't sound very pleasant to us, because we want that we should be served. I remember once I saw in Surat, in Gujarat, some advertisement. Nokari choro vyapar karo. It was offering. You do some business. You give up your nokari or doing some service and make a business. So some company was offering, you take a loan and start a business. So the idea, nokari, doing service, that's degrading. Actually, in Indian culture, that was always considered something very low class to work for someone. Nowadays, we find people, I'm a Brahmin, I work for such and such a company. But we work for such and work for on a salary means you're a Shudra, actually. To take a salary means to work for someone, to be a paid servant of someone, means not a Brahmin. So the idea, even now you see in India, people they'll go, the wife will cook samosas at home and the man will go out on his bicycle and around the apartment block saying, samosa, 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 and then the women put down their bucket and the samosas come down and the samosas come up and the money comes down and he's going around on a bicycle and selling, but he's self-employed. He might be able to get a job, but he's self-employed. He has that pride still to be self-employed. So the idea that service is degrading, to have to work for someone, even on the material platform. And actually it is, because if you're working for someone, you're working for some demoniac cow-eating boss or somewhere. You know, mostly people, they work for these big companies, they don't know who the boss is, or the boss lives on the other side of the world, or something like this. So that's degrading, even materially. But the idea that we should be a servant, actually, that is the proper idea, if we understand we're meant to be a servant of Krishna. So that is very good. Otherwise, the idea that I shall be independent in this material world, that is considered something better. But in this material world, the idea that I shall be a servant, oh, that's not very good. But to be a servant of Krishna, that is the best position. And actually, everyone is a servant of Krishna. Some people admit it, some people don't. Kehomane, kehomane, shabe taradash. Jainamane, tarhoi, she doshe nash. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find. Some people admit it, some people don't admit it, but everyone is his servant, and those that don't admit it, by the fault of not admitting it, they're destroyed. So, simply to admit, I am the servant of Krishna, which means, I'm not meant for enjoying this world. I am meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. And then we become afraid. Well, how can I be happy if I don't enjoy? But then we have to hear and understand that the service to Krishna in itself is all blissful, because Krishna is all blissful. And that is our natural constitutional position, to serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he in Parampara, he gave us this Goloka Darshan. So many books he gave. So many books to give us this understanding that we are meant for serving Krishna. We don't belong in this material world. In Bhagavatam, so many narrations of great devotees. Some of them were great devotees from the very beginning, like Prahlad Maharaj. Others, they went through some phase of apparently trying to enjoy this world, but then they came to the understanding, actually we're meant for serving Krishna. So that gives us hope also, because we're not all like Prahlad from the beginning of life. We're totally detached from any desires for material enjoyment, totally surrendered to Krishna. So there are narrations of devotees also who went through a period of trying to enjoy this material world and came to their senses and thought, well, let's be Krishna conscious. There's no happiness here. So this is a great education. please chant Hare Krishna and also study Srila Prabhupada's books. So much. So much we have to study. And now Srila Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples are also writing books. So there's no shortage of material of Krishna Katha. So better to fill up our lives with Krishna Kirtan and Krishna Katha. And this will change our whole consciousness. Instead of wanting to enjoy this world, we simply want to serve Krishna. That's all we have to do. When we're in the consciousness of wanting to serve Krishna, that's our passport to the spiritual world, to join Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna. Nice to be with my God brothers here. The whole life has been spent, God brother and God sister. Whole life in the service. Any other Prabhupada disciples here? Direct disciples? I wouldn't know. I don't know most of my American God siblings because I joined in England and then after a short time after that, I was in India. There weren't many devotees in India at that time. And then I was off in all remote places like Bangladesh and Thailand. And I didn't, because most of the devotees were from America. I didn't get to know them. Now I'm some of them. A lifetime in service. The sannyasis, they get all the rah-rah, all the trumpets and the adulation and all this kind of thing, but your devotees, their whole life is just, it may not be the big Ashtin or Jayam Vishnu Pad and all that kind of thing, but their whole life is being dedicated in the service of Krishna. You can take advantage of their association. Do it, because they're not going to be here much longer. All passing away one by one. So, Hare Krishna, would you like to say anything?
Well, just about the opinions you were mentioning, Maharaj, how everyone has their own opinion. Generally, those opinions are layer upon layer upon layer of misconceptions.
Layer upon layer upon layer of misconceptions. That's a very good way of putting it. And it's not only in this life, but life after life, we've been picking up all misconceptions. All based on the misconception that I am not the eternal servant of Krishna. And it morphs into all kinds of varieties of all kinds of weird things.
So sadhu is meant to cut.
Yes. Sadhu is meant to cut. Tatodu sangha utsucha satsu sajjeta buddhiman shanda evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. Maybe you've heard Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, sadhu means one who cuts. So that comes from, he gave the example in this, just like in the Vedic sacrifice, the animal is there, and the priest actually cuts, or maybe we find in Ramayana that the queen of Maharaj Dasharatha, that would be Kaushalya, she had to cut the animal. So in the same way, the sadhu stands ready to cut all the misconceptions. So this verse is there. One should give up bad. Tato du sangam utsricha. Therefore, give up bad association. And therefore means, having seen everything in this world is completely useless, then give up bad association. And being intelligent, associate with saintly persons. And what do they do to you? Nowadays we think a saintly person is someone who tells you, oh, you're so wonderful, you're so good, boost up, give you self-esteem, boost up your false ego. But Shastra says, Krishna says, he's actually quoting Krishna, he says that the sadhus, they will cut our misconceptions with their words. So that's duty. of a sadhu. I also made one book called On Speaking Strongly in Srila Prabhupada's Service. Just to give the idea that we're supposed to... Guru's not supposed to be just someone who... Or sadhu's not... Oh, you're so nice. You're so nice. You're so... You may say, yes, you're nice, but you're nonsense. You're nice, but your niceness is covered by layers upon layers of misconceptions. This misconception. My opinion. Well, in my opinion. What an incredibly egoistic thing to say. In my opinion. Who the hell cares for your opinion? Who are you? I don't believe in God. Who are you? What are you? Okay, announce everyone. Put it on the front page of the newspaper. So-and-so doesn't... So-and-so living some nondescript existence in some nondescript place. And I don't believe in God. It's amazing how people can be so incredibly egoistic and they don't even recognize that they're saying, in my opinion... And they think, well, you see, I'm introducing it in such a way that it's... I'm just saying it's my opinion. I'm not saying it's an actual fact. Hare Krishna. This culture, this Vedic culture of approaching a guru, it's very good, but it's been misused also because all kinds of nonsense people have presented themselves as gurus and all kinds of nonsense people have presented themselves as disciples. So therefore it's important to see Prabhupada. Of course we can't even understand even 1 second of Prabhupada's life fully, as long as we're in material consciousness. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Nabhujai. But we should try to understand him as he is. That's what happened. Just like Jesus, he never said he was God, but then his whole mission was just changed. He was redefined by Saint Paul in particular. So that's the tendency, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was redefined by people who wanted to enjoy him for their own sense gratification. So it's inevitable that will happen with Prabhupada also, that he becomes redefined into some nice old man who patted everyone on the head and said, you're wonderful, everything you do is wonderful. But he wasn't like that at all. So it's important to understand about our acharya. What makes them an acharya? Was it opening temples? Well, the temples were open because there were devotees who were convinced to serve Krishna. It wasn't a matter of just collecting some money and building a building. But the temples were all built on the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books, which the devotees, they distributed because they had the conviction that by doing so, people would be benefited. And some money came from that, which was used to purchase buildings which were made for temples, which were preaching bases to go out and distribute more books. So it's quite different from the concept we have nowadays that you collect some money and build a building, which is a temple of Krishna, which is very good. But we should understand that the temples Srila Prabhupada built, they were built out of firm faith and firm conviction, not simply from... of course, money came, but the money came from preaching Krishna consciousness. It wasn't a matter of going to people and you give some money and you'll get this much punya and this and that. It was a different concept altogether. So, parampara jano bhalo mate. Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur said, we should understand very well what is parampara. Yeah. Then you want to say something? You like to say that's all for me.
The other night we were having a get together also at Madhavacharan's with Rongpad Swami, and Uttaragari Maharaj, and so forth. And the topic that night was Grihastha Ashram, which is, if you look around, it's a big topic, because everybody here is a Grihastha except yourself and God, Krishna, Ramachari. And they're discussing the Vedic Grihastha, basically. So I was prompted to, after that, I wanted to go back to the seventh canto, because there's a chapter in the seventh canto that says ideal family members.
Mm-hmm.
Because Maharaj Yudhisthira is asking the same questions that householders are always asking. You know, we're stuck in this well of householder life and materialistic way, so what do we do? And so he gives the same answer as you've been giving here, is that you seek out the association of advanced devotees and you hear from them.
Yeah, Grihasthas should go on hearing all these cruel words about how this material world is miserable, there's no happiness here. They should go on hearing this. And at the same time, they have their responsibility to execute their family duties, but they should not be inimical to hearing this. They should let it go in their ear so that eventually it has its effect. And the idea is there, that section of the Bhagavatam is the Varnashram, so there's duties of brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, sannyasis, and women. There's five chapters there. The idea is that toward the end of life, when the children are grown up, to withdraw, to become detached. So one should not be inimical to hearing this. It's harsh. It may appear to be very harsh, but it's the fact that this material world is miserable and we don't belong here, and to be absorbed in family maintenance, even with Krishna consciousness, we still have to have that perspective of the urgency of Krishna consciousness and the need to become detached from this world, because the nature of family life is to absorb us more and more and more in family consciousness. So it is required to hear these things. Yudhishthira Maharaj, he presented himself to Narada as Griha Murhadi, one who's foolishly stuck in family consciousness. Of course, he's a great devotee, but he presented himself as such. So it is important to hear this. We shouldn't be inimical to that and say, oh, it's too heavy. You want to hear something nice? We should be ready to hear that also. Yes, please.
I like that term. I think if I'm saying it correctly, Shrutekshita Pata.
Yeah.
Can you say anything a little bit more about that? It was
the path of hearing by seeing. Sorry, seeing by hearing. Seeing by hearing. Well, say more about it. Yeah, go on hearing. Shravana Kirtana Karo Anukhan. Ashata Pachala Chari Kahe Premananda Manusha Janama Shafala Karo Nabhari. This is the last verse of a song praising or saying the importance of making the holy name our whole life. So Shravana Kirtan. Go on. Shravana Kirtan Karo Anukhan means go on hearing and chanting incessantly, moment after moment. Ashata pachalachari. Give up all useless talks and thoughts. Kahe Premananda, the writer of this song, says, having attained this human form of life, we should make it successful and don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. We should do it now. That's a very instructive song. Harinama Karosha, make the holy name the essence of our life. In this ocean of material existence, there's a bridge has come in this Kali Yuga. So we should cross it. Get across. Now is the chance. That's how the song begins. But Shravana Kirtana, the hearing, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's teaching also that just as we say Krishna, actually Krishna means Sri Krishna, which means Radha Krishna. So just as Radha is the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, Swarup Shakti means she makes him who he is. If we say Krishna, that's incomplete. Krishna means Radha Krishna. We may not say every time, but Krishna actually means Radha Krishna. So Kirtan means Shravan Kirtan. Shravan is the Swarup Shakti of Kirtan. We may say Kirtan, but to fully understand and fully participate in Kirtan, there has to be Shravan also. Otherwise we may be chanting, but we don't have a clear... If we haven't heard and we don't see properly, then we're... So many Mayavadis, they may chant also the names of Krishna, but they don't get the same result because they didn't hear properly. So when they do Kirtan, but it's not Kirtan. It's not... Kirtan means to glorify Krishna, but they're not glorifying Krishna. They may think my guru is Krishna, which becomes extremely offensive. So we have to see everything through the eye of Shastra. Then we can actually perform Kirtan. The two things, Shravana Kirtan, they should go on together. So Srila Prabhupada made this program, daily program, morning program, chanting and hearing and discussion of philosophy. Philosophy means Srimad Bhagavatam, philosophy. It's a very powerful program. Nowadays we have Kirtan Melas. So, okay, that's good. But Prabhupada's program was, and that's the program of all the acharyas, to have hearing and discussion of Bhagavatam also, in all details. Otherwise, you come to Kirtan and everyone's all there and don't be judgmental and someone's... The Kirtan leader is Kirtan leader because he can sing very nicely, but you don't know whether he chants his rounds or whether he follows the four principles. That doesn't seem to matter. It's just how nicely he can sing, how it appeals to our senses. And there's no discussion of philosophy. It means the whole thing's going to degrade. As in Bengal, there are so many professional kirtaniers. They're paid to go from place to place because they sing nicely. That's already started. And there's hearing, philosophy, and also we have to see the character of the person who's chanting. Better to hear from a person who's following the process properly than someone who can sing very nicely, but he doesn't follow any proper sadhana of regulative principles. That would be the whole idea of kirtan, is to please Krishna. We can't please Krishna simply by some musical performance. Who will know these things? We won't even know unless we hear these things. So there's a misunderstanding. Hare Nama Eva Kevalam means only chant, but chanting means there has to be discussion of all these points. So, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Oh, yeah.
In your book, Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a lot of emphasis on the seer and the seen.
The seer and the seen. He says this is the whole basis of my philosophy. Drig Drishya Vichar.
Yeah. So, like you said, really... when we see Krishna, when we go to take darshan of the Lord in the temple, what should be our mood? Am I being seen by Krishna?
Yeah, we present ourselves that I'm here as your servant. Please see me. And we see Krishna. And we appreciate. But we can appreciate best if we've heard properly. Otherwise, people may think, oh, nice, nice, they've dressed the statue very nicely. I've often said this. I had an experience many years ago. This must have been about 1976. The temple of Radha Gokulananda, just outside London. This big chandelier there donated by George Harrison. And the temple, what we call the temple room, was very nicely decorated. So some man came, electrician, something like this, not a devotee. And I was given the task of being with him when he's in the temple room, because he had some work to do, and it was mid-morning, and he wasn't expected there'd be anyone around. So I was to be with him while he was doing. So he came in, and he said, oh, it's so beautiful. And he praised, oh, you see the chandelier and the wall, and the flooring is very, he praised everything. He didn't even notice the deities at all. didn't say anything about the deities. Didn't see them. He noticed everything else is very beautiful, but he didn't even see the deities. He didn't have that piety to even notice that they were there. But people, if they are even little pious, they can appreciate it. The deities are decorated very nicely. And the idea is actually the deity worship, as you said, just at midday, that's very necessary for neophyte devotees, that they can appreciate Krishna. Of course, you have to be on a very, very high level to actually see Krishna everywhere. And the topmost devotees, they appreciate the deities on an even higher level. It's not that you don't need, the highest devotees don't appreciate the deities. But our attitude is, yes, Krishna is so beautiful, I'm here to serve him. That should be our attitude. I'm here to present myself as a servant. This Drigdrishya Vichara is actually a very big subject. I only gave an overview of it there. It's a very big subject. The Mayavadis, they talk about this. Drigdrishya Vivek. There's a work attributed to Shankaracharya, which is probably not written by him directly, in which they want to merge. That's mentioned in there, but in the essay or that chapter on the seer and the seen. They want to merge the seer and the seen, and the act of seeing.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, can you tell us something about your current and future preaching projects?
My current and future preaching projects. Well, the current one is right here now. Be here now. The name of an influential book. Who wrote that? There was one, Beatnik.
Baba Rand,
Richard Alpert, be here now. But it's actually applicable in real spiritual life also. Future projects, well, let's see how much time we have. Writing books and encouraging. The main things I'm involved in is writing and encouraging others to write. There are some books. Apart from my books, there are some books by some of my disciples here also. And our godbrother, Patit Pavan Prabhu, I published a book of his. And Varnashram projects, that's in India. If it can get done in America, all well and good. But we need the whole, really we need the whole society to get into this. Otherwise, very difficult, because in so many ways it's difficult. The first thing is land to purchase costs so much money. So in India I'm involved in that. And I'm overseeing some different preaching projects in India and Sri Lanka. So that's it in brief. Lecturing here and there. The lectures are on radio also. Someone's organizing that. 24 hours. Okay. Yeah, as you can see, I'm recording the lecture. I guess if it's worth saying, it's worth sharing on a broader basis also. Hare Krishna! Hey. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Clapping hands. Western culture. If you like, you can say sadhu, sadhu. That's Shastric. That's Vedic culture. Clapping hands is there in Vedic culture. That's for kirtan. Hare Krishna, like this. Shabe kirtan koro hate tale dia. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. You all do kirtan, clapping your hands. Hare Krishna.